We have a number of scripture passages that are printed in your bulletins. I'm going to read the first two of those now, and then we're going to be referring to the other ones during the message. And our first one is from Romans 8:28, and that one says, "We know that in everything God works for good according to his purpose." The next passage from Genesis 50:20 is kind of similar, and that one says, "Even though you meant this for misery, distress, injury," sometimes the Bible uses the word evil, "God will purpose this for good." And may God bless our understanding of these words of abundant life and love. Amen. So last week I was overhearing someone, and I heard some words that to me are kind of like nails on the blackboard. And so naturally, what do I want to do? I want to share these with you. This is what we do. I don't know why we do this as human beings. My kids are constantly doing things like saying like, "Oh, this tastes terrible. Here, taste it." That's what we do. That's what we do. So what I heard was this person repeated, it's a very old, and I know it's very well-meaning, but it's a dangerous cliche that we all hear people say, especially during difficult times. But this person said it during, you know, regarding the coronavirus, and that is, well, God doesn't give us any more than we can handle, right? Right. And I'm thinking, seriously? Seriously? I mean, I know you're trying to be positive. I know it's meant to be strong, which is great, but God doesn't give us any more than we can handle? Coronavirus? What does that mean for people who are really, really deeply suffering? What does that mean for people who have experienced death through this? For people who have been in the ICU, in the hospital, what does it say about the doctors, the nurses? God is giving measured doses of pain and suffering based on how much people can handle? So I guess if you can handle more, God's giving you extra doses of bad stuff. That is so messed up. But people say it. Is it true? Or is it just an example of bad theology? It's theology. And what I mean by bad is that, you know, there are some things that are easy to say. There are some things that roll off the tongue and can sound so authoritative. Well, you know, this is the way it is. And people are addressing a cosmic question about this. Why is this happening? But bad isn't just something that you don't like, that you don't want to hear, but it's at least three things that we're going to be talking about today. It's untrue, it can cause damage, and it's a product of lazy thinking, trying to avoid pain at someone else's cost. About 30 years ago, I was at a funeral for a 13-year-old child. And the child had been skiing with his brother. He lost control. He hit a tree. And at calling hours, a well-meaning person who was fumbling for what to say said to the parents, "Well, I guess God needed another angel." And again, I thought, are you serious? Do you honestly, is there anything in you that actually believes that this is the way that it works, that God creates some extraordinary suffering for an individual, for a family, for friends, for the rest of their lives because God needs another angel? I mean, what kind of a God would that be? And where do people come up with crazy stuff like that? Because just to be clear from the outset, is that you're not going to find anything about that whatsoever from Jesus. It's identity theft. It's fraud. Really, to make something up, you attribute it to bad stuff to God, using God's identity without permission. It's like when people say, and it's almost always when bad things happen, why did God do that? Someone gets hurt in a tragedy, someone dies, people say, I've lost my faith. I'm so angry with God for taking that person. Can you imagine if that happened to you? If somebody blames you for something that you didn't do, you go, it's not my thing. I didn't have anything to do with it. God wasn't the terrorist. God's not the bad driver. God doesn't spray the fields with toxic chemicals that people later eat. And you know, frankly, the healing truth is that God is hurting over these things at least as much, if not more, than any one of us. And that's why these scripture passages that we have this morning are so helpful, just to be able to talk about these things that sometimes come up. And I bring this up for us now, maybe obviously, because probably like you, I'm hearing people saying all sorts of things during times like these, during times that we're facing now, facing crisis. Tired of being in crisis. We're in stress. Things are feeling abnormal. I wake up some days and I just don't feel right. We feel mixed up at times. People are looking for an answer, a reason, some kind of a meaning to give order to chaos. And when people are hurting and looking for reasons to sometimes confusing and difficult and sometimes hidden problems, the cliche takes less work than working for the truth. And sometimes even the difficulty of just living in mystery and not knowing. And that's the third thing about bad theology that I mentioned. That it's not just untrue, it doesn't just create damage, but it's lazy. Just grabbing an easy answer. And when people sling stuff like this, could be at a bar, could be at a golf course, could be at a gas station. Just saying stuff. Why do we call it theology? Just saying stuff. Well, it's because religion is the understanding of how life works. What it's about. Religions put together a package. There are certain packages. There's the Judaism package, the Islam package, there's the Buddhism package, the Hinduism package, Christianity package, Zoroastrianism. And in addition to that, every person has all sorts of thoughts about how things work that may or may not go along with any of these packages. And you know, there's no stopping people from making stuff up. But once you say or indicate, this is how things work, whether you realize it or not, you're talking theology. So any belief system is a religion. It may be wildly inaccurate, it may be based on a whim at the moment, but it's still a religion. It may be a good religion or a bad religion, but it's still religion. The understanding or professing the understanding of how it all works. And the funny thing is that even atheists have a system of beliefs about how the world works, about how we got here, about what it's about. Even if that belief system is, it's all random, or it's the result of, just the result of chemistry and physics, and that is a matter of belief. That's a belief system. So we're all theologians. And so the questions are, Is it good? Is it true? Is it helpful? What's it based on? And specifically for us, if we call ourselves a Christian, if we consider ourselves under this umbrella, then what we ascribe to actually needs to be based on who? On Christ. We can't just go making up stuff and say, well, I'm a Christian, and I'm not even going to get into politicizing Christ, creating all sorts of statements, positions that Jesus would never have, that you can't find anywhere in the scriptures, and then ascribing them to him. And we know that that happens all the time. So you have to ask then, well, what does he say? What does he say about these things? So let's talk for a minute about the need to be true. The need to be true. People say, how do you know? How do you know? How do you know what's true? You know? As we all know, there are plenty of people with all sorts of belief systems that are not only untrue, but some that are downright harmful and destructive. People say, who am I to judge? How can I judge if a belief system is destructive? Can we just believe what we want to believe? Who am I to say? Well, people, let's say, for example, people who suffer from addictions often believe fervently, passionately, and will tell you, I am doing just fine, thank you, without your point of view, your help, your opinions, and they will vigorously defend. They have it under control. I have got this. Until sometime, for some, the belief system cracks and they admit to themselves, which is a good thing, to say, you know what, I've got a problem. I really don't have it all figured out because I'm seeing some things in my life and they're not coming together. I need help. But until then, you can talk blue in the face and they will hold fast to their hard and fast belief system. Even after job loss, even after family is suffering, even after friends are lost, even after money vanishes, even after health deteriorates, does it matter what you believe? I think so. If you believe everybody is out to get you, or lying to you, or everybody is wrong, if you believe your belief system might be, I'm always right, that has its consequences. As Lao Tzu said, though, if you correct your mind, the rest of your life will fall into place. So, what I call bad theology is untrue, causes damage, looks for an easy way out. Good theology, let's talk about that, works to get to the root of how does life actually work? What actually encourages people and lifts people up? What actually builds strong, loving relationships? And what actually destroys them? What actually builds trust? What actually builds meaning and a genuine sense of worth and well-being and happiness? What actually reduces stress? What actually helps in times of grief and crisis? And with that, I just want to spend the remainder of our time with our last pieces of scripture that for me point to how Christianity addresses some of these broad questions about God, about what God is about life, what life is about what makes life good and healthy and worthwhile. And what do we do with problems? What are they about? And how do we relate to one another in helpful ways? So let's take some of these scripture passages that we have today and ask, well, what are they tell us that is true and helpful along these lines? The first ones we're going to look at are the fourth and fifth ones down, where Jesus says, look, bottom line, this is what I'm about. This is why I'm here. Just to clarify, this is what I think is important. This is what I want to make sure that you understand and create for others. Because what's good for you is good for everyone. And those of you who know me well knows that these two, the fourth and fifth, are really my cornerstones that you're going to hear often, that you probably have heard often. When Jesus said, I came so you may have life and have it abundantly. And I love that statement because it's powerful. I love that statement because it's not only immensely positive and encouraging and uplifting and loving and supportive. I mean, this is what you want for people who you love. But it also means clearly that he didn't come and that God is likewise not only not creating our suffering or adding to our suffering, but that God's purpose is specifically to help you, to help us, to help prevent suffering, hopefully ahead of time where it's possible, to hopefully help us to avoid heartache where it's possible, and specifically to help you build an abundant, happy, meaningful life. That's what it's about. So if you want to believe that God causes suffering to teach us lessons or to punish us, go ahead and believe what you want, I suppose. But know that according to Jesus, 1,000,000%, it is diametrically opposed to Christianity, to everything that Christ and God is about. So if you believe the opposite, just don't pin it on God or bring God's name in it, which brings us to our next passage of good theology. And this is the passage that's the third one down, and it says very simply and powerfully, and when you first hear it, it may seem ironic, but it's from John chapter 11, which is the shortest passage in the Bible. Jesus wept. Jesus wept. You go, good theology. How is that good theology? Well, it's part of a larger story where Jesus, at the death of his friend Lazarus, did not say to Lazarus' sisters, well, so listen, let me explain to you why God took him. No. What did he do? He was sad. He cried. He wept. Because Lazarus was young. Lazarus was a friend. And Jesus was honest. Not trying to just throw out a cliche, not trying to sugarcoat things. Jesus felt his own pain, and he felt Lazarus' sister's pain. He knew. He knew that at times of death and tragedy, you don't try to pretty things up by throwing out cliches, but the healthy and honest thing to do is to be emotionally open, accessible, compassionate, honest, authentic, raw even. And that is his theology. And that is Jesus sharing what God is about and how God approaches crisis and tragedy and suffering. That God doesn't give us problems. God grieves with us. When losses and death and tragedy strikes, God is with us. not to teach us a lesson, but to be present and listen and love us with great compassion. And I suppose if there's any lesson, that's it. And that comes through as well in the last three passages as well, that says crystal clear, not in this order, but God is love. I am with you. I will strengthen you. I will uphold you. And love one another as I have loved you. Do bad things happen? Absolutely. Is God part of that? Absolutely, but listen closely, not causing the problems. But God is part of it. As the passages say, working for whatever good can be salvaged and created in spite of the problem and even in the midst of it. And God is working with us for good. And so even with this, we can ask, is it true? We look around with us. Look around at nature. Look around at pollution. We might pollute the water and the air, but God is always working for good. The process is created that in spite of us, God's creation is constantly working, if we but let it, to clean up, to repair our messes. And not only if we just let it, but how about if we work for that? To clean up the water, to clean up the air, it's not wishful thinking. It's true. When we get physically hurt, we get injured physically, psychologically, the way we've been created to heal. We've been built to recover from trauma. And we can trust in that and work with that. Are there some things that we can't overcome? Absolutely. But even with that, to the extent that it is possible, God still works for good, encourages us, inspires us to work for good. The passage says, in everything God works for good. It doesn't say God has a magic wand or God makes problems disappear or will override physics or chemistry or physiology, but God works for good and we do our part. Wear our seatbelts, take our medicine, wear our helmets, get the right amount of sleep, take care of our bodies according to His purpose. But there are limits. And sometimes, even when we do everything right, there can still be an accident. Even when we do everything right, there can still be illness, cancer. And that is profoundly and devastatingly sad and deserves our love, not our pat answers, deserves our support, our tears, our hugs, and our virtual hugs. To heal through and to work for good in all things as best we can. Sometimes that good is justice. Sometimes that good comes out even of others' destructions. There are things like Mothers Against Drunk Driving, created in response to children who died as a result of drunk drivers, AA, good that came out of damaged lives. And even though these aren't magic wand kind of scriptures, even though they're not simplistic answers to sometimes difficult problems, they are true. And they lead to meaningful, abundant, healthy, compassionate, nurturing lives. God works, in fact, for our good. and we do our part. And because this is a tough time, I think it's worth sharing these loving and healing and helpful messages of truth that encourage us to, you know, be a little more patient with the other person and be a lot more patient with ourselves. To reach out to God, to reach out to one another for that healing balm and to be that healing balm. As Christ said, I came so that you may have life and have it abundantly. I came so that you might have joy and your joy may be complete. Love one another as God loves you. I am with you. I support you. I uphold you. Now and forevermore. Amen.
Dear God, here we are in the midst of another spring. We bask in the warming sun and the songs of the birds, the blossoming of trees and flowers. All around us, your creation is celebrating rebirth and renewal. And it all looks so pretty from our vantage point. And yet, God, there is a darkness that lurks on the edges. Our lives have changed so drastically. All that we once knew is altered. We are moving through days faster than normal. One day blends into the next until a month has passed. And we wonder, what happened to those days? We are disjointed, out of place, wondering what our world has become. And it is hard, God. Some of us find ourselves sleeping more, crying more easily, or having moments of anger that seem out of place. We mourn the loss of control in our lives, so we try to balance that by over-controlling other insignificant things. We are living in hard times, God. We miss freely seeing our family and friends, celebrating birthdays and anniversaries. Babies have been born, and loved ones have died. And we haven't been able to comfort each other in person. But we are your people, God, and that makes us people of hope and peace and love and joy. And so we work hard to bring meaning to each day, to believe and to do our part to heal this world, to be kinder to the people we are living with, to say openly to people, I love you, and to help those who need it by caring for them, even if they are strangers. And we work to bring joy into our daily lives with virtual get-togethers and drive-by visits. These are hard times, God. But knowing you are with us, loving us, and comforting us gives us peace. And today we join with millions of your followers from all belief systems and pray for an end to this pandemic, an end to the illness and death, an end to this disease which has taken so much from us. We pray for our doctors and nurses, our hospital janitors and food service employees, We pray for the researchers who are working tirelessly on cures and methods of prevention. And we pray for our store clerks and restaurant workers, our gas station attendants, and our first responders. And we pray for each other, knowing that as a church family, we support and love each other at all times and through all things. And as the restrictions begin to lift, help us, God, to remember that the risk to ourselves and others is not over, that we are not through with this crisis. So help us to moderate our enthusiasm to do things and to go places. And help us to make sure we continue to do our part to keep ourselves and others safe from harm. These are hard times, God, but with your love, we will rise above. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.